The healthcare system is broken, but it doesn't have to be. This is Revenue Cycle Optimized by Infinix Healthcare. We discuss the latest challenges in the revenue cycle space and provide actionable tips on how to overcome them at your organization.
Hello, everyone, and I want to welcome each of you to another episode of Office Hours, where we explore the latest challenges, developments, and innovations in the healthcare revenue cycle space. I'm your host, Stuart Newsom, VP of Marketing at Infinix, and my guest today is Jonathan Aguiar. He's our Senior Solution Engineer here at Infinix. So Jonathan keeps us squared away on all things products with announcements and news and events, and is one of our experts in demonstrating our solutions. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, it is awesome to have you here because I always like to get those who know what they're talking about when it comes to our solutions. And when we came up with the idea of doing a demo, so to speak, we really just some of the features and benefits of our software, not only as a tech, but also as it's combined with a service as well. But we wanted to kind of go beyond that. So that's why, you know, recruiting Jonathan was just a no-brainer. And when you look at the industry and understanding some of the industry challenges, we've been doing this for a very, very long time. And we've come to realize that when we have conversations with a lot of our clients and even prospects who are looking to come on board with us, many of them, regardless of their specialty, often face a lot of the challenges of managing basic eligibility requirements, certain authorization workflows. They're inundated with rudimentary tools like EMRs and spreadsheets, doing things sort of an old-fashioned way, a very cumbersome manual process that's been very inefficient, particularly when it comes to when your practice grows. It's not very scalable. Some common options that we've seen is that as businesses do scale, and they're also, you add the fact of the great resignation, when key staff may depart, sometimes that knowledge departs with them. So where do you turn to for that? There seems to be a growing necessity for more sophisticated solution where your solutions can handle increasing patient volumes without compromising any service quality. So we like to look at this as a tailored solution. One of the things, our mantras that we have, is we like to lead with automation and integration. It's very important. You know, there you can have a software built, but if that software is not built in or integrated with your EHR or perhaps with your PM system, living in the environment that you're in, the world that you're in, then it's not going to be very efficient. You have to go on and you have to log on to separate platforms. You have to, then you're back to square one, where you're maybe exporting a spreadsheet from one system and then trying to input that information into another system, maybe even going direct to, say, a payer's website and manually trying to put in a CPT code and try and get those results, whether it comes from prior authorizations. This has really been something that we found to be something that cuts down on a lot of manual efforts significantly, and it also expedites that process, like eligibility verifications, benefits confirmations, as well as prior authorizations and claims payments. Before we dig into this, many of you have heard me say in the past about talking about denials, and denials are a huge problem. Just, I think an episode ago, we talked about the cost of denials and how it's escalated with some numbers that we talked about from 2022. If you didn't catch that episode, you can actually go to our website and look at past Office Hours, and you'll have that recording out there that you can look at. But one of the denials that tops the list every single year is prior authorization. And it seems half, if not just under half, of all denials are attributed to prior authorization. And it never really made sense to me, because you have this prior authorization process going through with your patient access. And perhaps it's because of the manual processes that are invoked there, and the fact that it's just not getting done in a timely manner as well for when that procedure comes around. Maybe you didn't get that prior authorization in time, but the procedure went ahead. Many times it's legitimate, where the physician may have taken a left turn by performing a different procedure for whatever reason. However, that's something that could be prevented very easily. And you're going to find that when we listen to our clients and listen to our customers, we've put things in place to help remedy some of the pitfalls to that. So with that, Jonathan, I would like to kind of get your opinion as you go through the demo, as you look at some of the comprehensive features that we have going on with our solution.
Definitely. Yeah, well said, Stuart. I concur with all of those points. I think in the industry, we find that no matter how sophisticated a workflow is and prior auth and eligibility and benefits, even in 2024, it cannot be fully automated. And even though we have a robust solution here, we like to say that we have a tech plus team approach. You know, some would say, you know, we have an AI-based business and, you know, we can fully automate the process. That's actually not true. Like, prior authorizations are far too complex. There's too many payers. Some payers may require you to jump on a phone call. So that's not a matter of how sophisticated your tech is. That's just a matter of the industry. So at Infinex, we tried to have a holistic solution to stop all the gaps that you would find, especially in prior auth, given its complicated nature of workflow. Yeah, I'm happy to jump in here if you can see my screen here.
Yeah, see it just fine. Yeah, just take
Okay,
us
great.
through the day in the life of someone who would be using our patient access platform.
Sure, happy to. So basically, when you log into our platform, the first thing you'll notice is that all of the cases are listed for you. What we wanted to do was to make it as easy as possible to see all of the data points you would have in these various cases. And more importantly than that, the statuses of those cases. As you can see, the color-coded mechanism of these various statuses are built in such a way that it draws your eye to them, because we don't want you to sit here and look at every single data point of all your cases. We want you to be able to get the information that you're looking for as quickly as possible. So that's why when you log in, this is the very first thing you'll see. Now, drilling down deeper, you'll notice that there's various filter mechanisms, because even though we want ease of use, we also want you to have accessibility to all the various data points, because we recognize that some clients are going to find particular data points more attractive or more useful based on how they work their workflow. So we really cater to the needs of our clients. We don't ever want a client to be onboarded and feel like, you know, we're giving you a bunch of check boxes that we apply to your workflow. We want to adapt to your workflow. So let me get into these filters a little bit. So as you can see, we support eligibility and benefits and prior auth. We also have a bundled approach where you can do both in cases. You can filter by various insurance types just to make it a little bit easier to drill down on various insurances. Statuses, I'll come back to that, can get a little bit complex, and I want to spend some extra time on there. Facilities allows you to filter by all the various facilities you may have in your organization. Say if you're a major health tech system, for example, this really helps to be able to hone in on the data points for particular facilities, so you're not kind of bogged down by the high level details of all of the cases. Data service range, this is pretty self-explanatory, but just gives you a time window to be able to drill down on cases. Then, of course, you can organize by various physicians too. What's nice about our filters as well is you have flexibility to customize these filters by clicking Edit Dashboard. So as you can see here, we do have some filters that are there by default. But at any point, if you're like, okay, I don't have multiple facilities, that's not particularly useful to me, you can exit out that facility. Say you really want to know who's working on those cases or who created those cases, you can add these two items here, last worked on, created by. And then additionally, in this Columns tab, you actually can drag and drop the columns to better fit to your workflow. There are some columns here that are static and put in place just because these kinds of details are always necessary. But for example, like if, again, you don't have multiple facilities, you can exit out that facility window and then drag it until it meets your needs. And then save preferences down below once you feel like it fits. And if at any point you feel like, I don't really like what I did with these filters and I don't remember what it looked like, you can always hit reset filter button. It'll just bring you back to our default view. So that's a little bit of the high-level overview of our filters. What I do want to display is the statuses. That's where we spend a lot of our time when it comes to feedback to the clients, but also the feedback we receive from your EMRs, for example. So as you can see here, we have various statuses available to you. And what we really want to do with the statuses is provide a quick way for you to see where that case is at without even having to open the case. So for example, in the prior auth finalized statuses, we have approved and denied, as well as no auth required. And then on the eligibility side, we have eligible, ineligible. Those kind of statuses are very straightforward. gives you what you need to know, and then you can drill down into the case details based on what statuses are relevant to you. Moving on, we have the canceled status. That's applicable to all cases. That's if, a patient cancels an appointment or that case is just no longer needed. Initiated just means the case has been initiated with the payer or the prior authorization entity. Intake review means the case failed validation and needs more input to proceed further. What's cool about this is both the Infinex team and also the client's team can go in and edit any information that's required in order to move that from that intake review status. And then new case, you'll hardly ever see this because our system automates that process of new case to the next queue. But this is more of a back-end status for our system to recognize, okay, a new case came through, let's go ahead and shift it off to the next part of the process. Peer review just means payer requires a peer-to-peer review. This is where Infinex will inform you as a client that a peer review is required. I'm going to skip over pending information for a moment. It's a little bit more complex. Pending review is the case has been initiated and is pending with the payer. And then pending verification means the case is pending eligibility and verification. And then finally, uninitiated means the case has not been initiated by the system yet for whatever reason. And when you see an uninitiated status, you can click into that case to see more details. Now, honing in on this pending information status, it's kind of a unique status. We broke it down into three substatuses with our newer release. We wanted to make it easy and digestible for the end user to see where that case is at on the pending side of things, because a pending information status is very vague. So we wanted to provide additional detail again, so you don't have to drill down to every single case to see where it's at. So the first substatus here is in review. That just means the case is in review and the product is determining if client action is required. Info requested, that means additional information required has already been requested from the client. And then finally, info sent means the information requested from the client has been sent to Infinex. So what's nice about this is as the case moves through our various automations and work queues, these statuses will constantly be updated. So you'll see it move from pending information in review, info requested, info sent, based on where that case is at. All right. So I gave you a little bit of our filters. I'd love to talk about our new case data entry. So like Stuart mentioned, we really tried to cater to the needs of the clients. So we recognize that some clients are going to have more of a sophisticated integration capability, while other clients don't necessarily have EMR integrations in place. So we want to make it flexible to those various client needs. So for example, we can integrate over API, HL7. We have a bulk upload option. We have done robotic process automation in the past for clients based on their unique needs of their EMR system. And then, of course, you can just use our portal as your data entry mechanism. So let me drill down a little bit on what a single case entry looks like. And I'm going to select the package here, EVB and PA. So as you can see, all of the sections are labeled according to the high-level information needed. And these are all relevant to those filters you saw earlier. So things like physician information, patient information, service information, insurance, procedure, ICD, and down to your clinicals. So that's kind of a high level of the various data points that we gather to be able to feed it back to you in an easy-to-view way. Not all of these fields are required. Yeah, Stuart, go ahead.
I was going to say, with the integration, this I would imagine this information is populated, or in some instances, maybe be running in the background where you may not even need to see the screen.
Yeah.
But right, so there's, I think, like you said earlier, catering to the client. There may be some clients who, yeah, we want to have some manual entry on some of these cases one by one, or we could also take this data in where that integration exists and those robotic processing automations also exist, where we can then run this all in the background.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, no, ideally, we're going to integrate over an API connection or an HL7 because API is going to be real time, HL7 is going to be close to real time, and that will allow us to get the data without any room for human manual error. Because it's what we want to say is your EMR is a source of truth. We don't want you to feel like you partner with Infinex for a solution, and then you're having to duplicate your efforts in your EMR and in our system in order to, you know, get the final results. We want ideally for your EMR to be that source of truth, feed it into Infinex via HL7 or API. We feed it into the various payers, get those statuses for you, feed it back into your EMR. Ideally, you don't even have to log in to work these cases in our system. And then in that case, our system acts like an easy to view hub of all of the various data points where, you know, where the cases at with the payer, what are the analytics details that may be helpful to me. But yeah, that's ideal for the EMR to be a source of truth.
Yeah, certainly. Because we certainly recognize that transitioning to a whole new system can be very daunting. I think sometimes it can prevent the process of implementing something like this or a tool like this. So as you can see so far, just interrupting the demo just a little bit, it's designed to be very intuitive. So we just want to make sure that it's adaptable, that our clients adopt it, and they adopt it very quickly and effectively. So it really is all about enhancing that patient experience, but also reducing the workload. Again, reducing those manual processes.
Agreed. Yes. And during onboarding too, we do have some clients that are like, hey, I need a solution right away. You know, my staff are burnt out. We're having a hard time keeping up with these prior authorizations. So some staff members go the bulk upload route, for example, in the interim, where it's just as simple as uploading a CSV file. And then that data gets into our system, and then we feed it to the payers on your behalf while we're waiting on that integration to be, you know, worked on the EMR level. So you never have to feel like, oh goodness, this is such a long onboarding process with EMR integration. We may be switching EMRs. You know, it can be a little bit daunting to be like, now I got to retrain my staff on a whole new system. We try to take that off of your shoulders where we're saying, hey, you can be onboarded and ramped up right away with our bulk upload feature. And then while we're getting that data for you with the payers, we can also be working on those EMR integrations. And what's awesome about that is we're already mapping all of your workflows, your payers, your CPTs during that bulk upload process so that when we come to the EMR integration piece, we're already halfway there where we don't have to, you know, recreate the wheel at that point.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So yeah, so to Stuart's point, we're not expecting staff members to necessarily come in here and manually type in data points. But what's useful about this is all of these data points are consistent across the board, whether you use an EMR integration, bulk upload, or manual single case entry. These data points are always going to be the same, and the required fields are always going to be the same too. So things like physician first and last name, you know, patient first name, last name, date of birth, et cetera, down the CPT codes and insurance types. So just wanted to show that a little bit. And then in that case, you know, you can create a case or save it to intake review to work on later. All right. So that's a little bit of our new case entry. I did want to show off a couple of cases. So I got two ready to go here. Got demo 108. And then this is an example of an approved case that utilizes both of our products here, eligibility and benefits, as well as prior authorization. And again, we want your eye to immediately go to the status because that's of chief importance, but then also down below, we want you to be able to see the auth number and the case reference number immediately because the case details are very useful if you want to drill down on the case. But if you're just working cases and you want to, you know, get your information as quickly as possible, we want to be able to provide that to you in a reasonable time frame. And we have this complete case feature where, you know, if you have multiple staff members working these cases, you can actually look at your finalized case statuses and hit complete case. And then what will happen is that case will be moved from the current queue to the completed queue. That way you're not duplicating efforts among staff members of, hey, has anyone looked at this case? Do we have to do anything with this case? That won't even be a question because it won't be in current queue if it's already been acknowledged. Again, just by the complete case button.
That's handy case management.
Exactly. Exactly. And then down here, you'll also notice this activity log. I'm a bit of a nerd, if I'm being honest, so I'm big on audit trails and timestamps. And what's important about this is you'll be able to see where the case has been at throughout the process of being submitted to the payer. So you'll be able to see, you know, the various timestamps and dates of initiation, you know, determination, the follow-up mechanisms, and even down to the description details of who was talked to. You know, did you get on the phone with this payer? So you're not playing the guessing game of, you know, where is this case at? So we want to provide all that information in an easy to view screen.
Nice, very nice.
And then down below, we have our patient pay estimate summary. That's part of our eligibility and benefits module. We offer an easy way to find what the patient is expected to pay, the allowed amount, the estimated amount, and then also the benefit applied here. And then up here, you also have the deductible remaining, out-of-pocket, and out-of-pocket remaining. So this is a great case example of all of the features bundled into one case, because we don't want you to have to run around to various cases to get that data you're looking for.
Right. And that's so important, because there's been a large increase in the patient AR. Whereas when you go back and look at those denials, that patient AR can grow what the patient responsibility is. And in many cases where the patient, even with some high deductible plans, you know, the patient is going to pay the majority of that up front, especially the beginning of the year. So it's very important to know that expectation, that the patient understands that expectation, and even give you the opportunity to collect before the service is even rendered.
That's great. Yeah. The more data, the better, because there's a lot to process. So as you can see here, there's a messages tab as well. I always like to harp on these two tabs here, because I've worked in health tech for close to a decade now. And what I found is people get a really skittish around the communication mechanisms of, you know, PHI, making sure things are in compliance, making sure we're okay with HIPAA, you know, guidelines. So what we want to be able for our clients to have is a means of communication and a means of file upload that doesn't require emails, doesn't require, you know, finding the various points of contact to distribute that information to. You can just go directly into the case, send a message to our team. It's automatically in compliance. It's backed by HIPAA, because we are backed by HIPAA. It's backed by our AWS cloud system, so it's hyper secured. And that's true for our SF2P server too. So you don't have to worry about the back and forth and, you know, are things okay? And also, all of those messages and clinicals are tied directly to the case. So you also don't have to dig around various cases to be like, did I upload that in the right place? It's all here for you in one easy to view hub.
Right. That's amazing. I can just see right now how that application alone can help, you know, reduce those administrative costs. You know, the cost, it's hard to measure some of those intangible costs when you're chasing down the time spent chasing down, you know, where the reference to the clinical note is, where did you insert this information? Is it in a spreadsheet or is it on a sticky note, whatever? So really, this is more of a centralizing and streamlining that workflow. So it'll cut down on those costs that will officially, at the end of the day, it's just going to enhance your revenue cycle management.
100%. I think that's actually a good segue into our analytics tool, going deeper into understanding how this data impacts my day-to-day workflow. So I want to show off our prior auth section. The EVB section is going to be very similar, but first I'm going to increase this window of data to about a month and some change. That way you can really see all of the various data points. Like I said before, we don't want you to be in the weeds when it comes to this data, because we recognize that there is a lot of data, and, you know, and that each case is full of data. So we want it to be as digestible as possible and for you to get that information as quickly as possible. So some of the examples of those data points include the total case count broken down by the day of the week or the month, priority distribution, stat, same day retro normal, the status distribution, all of those various statuses that I had spoken of earlier. We break down that data for you. Multiple physicians, users, facilities, down to our turnaround time for initiation as well as completion. And this I always harp on, because this holds us accountable to our SLA agreement as well, because it's one thing to say this is what we're going to do. It's another thing to have analytic data to back that reality up. And so you'll be able to see it down to the day of the month, and you'll see the trends of, you know, oh, today took a little bit longer. Why is that? Why are all the other days, you know, much more baseline?
Mm-hmm.
So this just helps to digest that information more quickly.
That's awesome.
And then down below, you'll see all the raw data that you can actually export to a CSV or an Excel file. I always like to say, this is your data. This is not our data. We make it easy to view your data, but ultimately you have complete access to it and you can manipulate it however you choose. We just want to make it easy for you. So,
Right. And I like that because it's one of those things where you have those who can't go cold turkey away from your spreadsheet. I'm kind of an Excel geek myself, so I can understand that anxiety. But so people have been doing it so long, they're just used to doing it that way. So yeah, that's a good comfort level. So, oh yeah, I can still put this all in a spreadsheet if I wanted to.
And I mean, there's internal processes that require spreadsheets. So, we don't want to create silos. We want to make that data fluid back into your system too.
Exactly. Total transparency. Yep.
Yes, this is really good for reporting as well, because at the end of the day, the stakeholders don't necessarily care about, that low level detail, but they do care about, how are we doing? How is Infinex performing? So we want to provide all of those data points more easily at that high level. And I also pulled up this request level analytics drop down below because there's some additional items here. You can also filter by CPT codes as well as payers. And then you can also see their reason for denials as well as action required items. This is super important because if there's a trend in denials, you'll be able to see, what's the common denominator here? Is there a common payer? Is there a common denial reason? Is it the same CPT code with a particular payer? You're able to really do some homework and detective work on, where any gaps may be. And then what's really cool is at any point you can click on one of these bars and it'll manipulate all of the data points to reflect that data point. So if you're like, I really want to focus on WellMed today, click on WellMed's bar graph and it'll manipulate that data for you. So you don't have to play the guessing game of, is this reflective of a particular payer? It's for WellMed because you just clicked on WellMed.
It's amazing the responsiveness of that too. Yeah, it just instantaneously changed the data, changed the layout with the dashboard.
Yeah, it's very dynamic, very fluid, real time. And then you'll also be able to see the completion time. Yeah, I mean, completion time by payer as well as CPT code. So you'll be able to see all of these data points with the time frames. So you can hold us to our SLA agreement. And you can also see why is this payer giving us a hard time or why is this payer so efficient? What's the difference and how can we get ahead of that for next time? And then the data is down below again for all of these items as well.
Very good.
All right. That's a little bit of our analytic details. So that's kind of the suite of our product. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to view your data as low as you'd like or as high as you'd like, be able to provide reporting. And most importantly, we want to make sure the data is accurate and coming back from the payers in a very reasonable time frame. So, with an API integration, and if it's a payer that's good to us, some of these cases can be turned around, same day very quickly, especially for those stats and same day cases. So the system is very robust and we have lots of payers we're integrated with.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. Well, and at this point, we'd like to open it up for questions. I know that one question that definitely comes up is a lot of people will state to us, well, you have a lot of automation going on in your platform, and they may not be interested in purchasing our whole platform. So, in a nutshell, that question would be, do I have to buy your whole platform if I just want one specific automation? And I know I can answer the short answer to that is no, you don't have to buy the whole platform. Yes, because as I said earlier, we like to lead with automation. Our automation capabilities is what drives a lot of our secret sauce, if you will. And so we can build those automations piece by piece for you. We have several that are already available, some that are in alpha, so to speak, not quite beta. But I don't know if Jonathan, if you have any insight on some of those automation functionalities as well, because a lot of people can get that functionality within our platforms. We also have functionality that's similar in our AR denials management platform that we have as well that helps you manage denials. So if you can talk a little bit to that, it'd be great.
Yeah, happy to. Yeah, so basically our what we like to call is our automation manual orchestration workflow. It's a mouthful, but it really encompasses how our system works. So, like I mentioned at the beginning of the call, prior authorizations absolutely cannot be fully automated across the board all the time. It cannot be done. Be very wary of any vendor that says, yeah, we're fully automated, don't worry about it. What Infinix says is our automation does as much as it can do based on the payers it's integrated with, based on the EMRs it's integrated with. And at any point of the process, it can be dropped down into a manual queue where an Infinix staff member or a client staff member can work that case down to the next portion of the automation. So what that looks like tangibly is, you know, say the case is initiated with the payer and there's some kind of, you know, missing information detail, the automation knows, okay, I need a staff member to move this forward. So it'll drop it to a manual queue to be worked. And then once those data points are fulfilled, then it can be brought right back into that factory where it's pushed again to that payer and be like, hey, we have all the information we need. And ideally, it's just going to keep flowing through the automation. So, you know, an initiation, a determination, follow-up. But at any point, so for example, follow-up, our automation is following up with the payer constantly, and then the payer hasn't gone back to us. Our automation knows, hey, we're getting to within 48 hours of that data service window. It's time to drop it into the manual queue so a staff member can expedite this case, because we want to make sure the patient is seen on time and also that all of this information is fulfilled in a reasonable time frame. So that's where our automation and that manual orchestration really shines.
Awesome. Awesome. So we do have a question from Monique. She asked, can we group the diagnostic imaging service type? They are all seem to be separated. We have to click on every one every time.
That's a good question. So on the CPT code level, we can bundle up to 5 CPT codes per cases. So if it's the same, you know, patient, same ordering physician, and it's 5 different service items, up to 5 of those CPTs can be bundled within a case. And that case will be submitted as a bundle to the payer. I hope that clarifies a little bit.
Yeah, hope so too. So she can give us a thumbs up on that. And she's also asking another one. Is under the ordering physicians, will we ever be able to have a drop-down like the status where we can select the particular doctors rather than entering a particular doctor every time?
That's a great question. Yeah, and I think that's a very valid enhancement request for product. Definitely something we can submit as a ticket.
Awesome. Yeah, we like to hear, you know, our customers' feedback, because that's how the product gets better. So any feedback that we have, we'd like to understand, you know, the brevity of that, so we can actually present that to our team and get it into a future release.
Yeah. And Stuart's not just saying that. A lot of the features that you see over time for some of our clients that have been with us for some time, you'll notice that we're constantly updating our system. And most of those updates revolve around what we're hearing from our clients. So there's a particular button that'd be useful, a particular workflow that'd be useful. A lot of times those enhancements are based on the client feedback. And our customer success team is bar none, one of the best I've worked with. And I'm not just saying that because I currently work at Infinix. They really care about the client, and they really mediate for clients between product and the client needs, and really, you know, hone in on the data that's relevant to all clients. Like, this is what our clients are saying. You know, can we get this as an enhancement into our system? And that's always a priority for us.
Awesome. Awesome. Yep. And Monique wanted to clarify that diagnostic question was more for filtering those diagnostic imaging service types.
Yeah, that's a good question. We can definitely get back to you with a little bit more sophisticated detail on that level.
Perfect. Well, I don't see any other questions. With that said, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. As usual, be sure to check us next week on another episode of Office Hours. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Thanks for joining us. Subscribe to get notified when our next episode is online. For more information for how we can help you increase reimbursements at your company, check out our website at infinix.com. That's infinx.com.